Well, good morning. Good to be here. Cold winter morning, but it seems nice and warm in here. When you look out, it even looks nice. This whole week, every time I went, I looked out, it looks nice and warm. Walk out, no. But this morning, we want to look into what a healthy church is, and the body life. You know, I know some of you are young in the church, in a sense. You grew up in a church, and yet maybe what is really your function was in a church. And so we want to look at a couple of references here in the Bible. And last night I had, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. And in light of that, this is what it means. If you don't deny yourself, you won't be a very good church person. So anyways, all that goes together, very much so, and we'll see that. So this morning, you know, before I read here, you know, we're looking for a healthy church. Some people look for a perfect church, but I am, you know, it's nice to see perfection. But yet, in a church, there should be all stages of people coming in, all stages of maturity. And so, will you ever be 100% alike? Unless you stop growing and stay stagnant, that's the only thing I can prove that would be always the same. And, you know, in that term I just said, that was negative. And so we're looking for a pursue a healthy church. It is marked by repentance, not perfection necessarily. I'm not belittling the word perfection. But what we get wrong sometimes, we want to so much pursue, you know, we're attacking people before we, because they're not doing it right the way I think, and that can cause problems and all that. But healthy, are we going forward? Are we maturing? Are we being fruitful? Are we a blessing to those to point people towards Christ? You know, your goal, all your life, your church life should be to point people to Christ. And that doesn't matter how simple you are. If you were just born again yesterday, it doesn't matter. But that is what we need to see. Sometimes we see it on a smaller scale and sometimes on a bigger scale. But, you know, Christ has a plan for us, and we'll see that. You know, just remember, a healthy church is marked by repentance. You know, we die to ourselves. We deny ourselves, our own interests, sometimes for the sake of somebody else. Even in the Bible, I don't have this. You know, if somebody is offended by eating a meat, I don't eat meat. I mean, it doesn't say the guy that doesn't eat meat is wrong. It says you can deny yourself. You know, my opinion would be eat meat. But sometimes that opinion has to die because there's no salvation in that, okay? So anyways, we keeping our eyes on Jesus, selfless, preferring others above ourselves. What is the best for my brothers and sisters? That's all part of church life. And social media is in, I'm going to address that before I read the scriptures I have. One thing that came over COVID, people can stay home and watch church online. And I just want to kill one idea is, when we think we can have church and be part of a church, and this preacher out there is the guy I follow, and you never met him, you're not following him. You're not part of him. He's not your spiritual father. Because we need to rub shoulders. That's the whole idea of church. You know, sometimes I could love you better if I would have never met you. But this is why we die to ourselves and lift up Christ. And you'll see why I'm saying this shortly. And so we need to be connected to each other. And there's a greater church out there. There's a broader church out there, and that's great. That's fine. But for us here, that's why we are part of a local church. Some people get, I'm part of the global church. You're part of the local church to be in order to be part of the global. Never forget that. Because a lot of people said, I wish I could be like the church. I came home from Africa and shared a testimony of something, and a lady came up to me, I wish I could go with you to Africa because then I could see God move. Wrong. Because God is moving. He is for all people at all places, all times. And if he's not moving in your life, don't travel any farther than your knees. Get right with God. So this morning we're going to read in 1 Corinthians 12. And I'm going to pick out, I'm not going to read, you could read the whole chapter 12, obviously. And it would be very good, and I recommend you do that. 1 Corinthians 12, 12, then I'm going to skip a couple here, but 1 Corinthians 12, 12. For as the body is one and has many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Now we skip down to 1 Corinthians 12, 18. First Corinthians 12:18. But now has God set every member, has set members, every one of them in the body as it has pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members and yet one body? And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. So here we see the idea. And if you read the whole chapter, you get more to that. It's very repetitive, that's good. But so we're members of one another, just like this body. It's interesting that he used that illustration to show how we work together. You know, I came to church this morning, not my heart only. I'm with you in spirit. No, I'm with you in the whole thing. And thank God my whole body decided to get out of bed at the same time this morning. I didn't get out and one foot stayed in or one leg stayed in. And you know, no. I mean, that would happen. It would be something majorly wrong. And so hopefully after a while you get where I'm going. We're only a small part of the body, but we're very important in the body, and yet a small part. Keep that in mind as you give and take from others. If you give advice, encourage, and take encouragement and advice, we're all a small part. This body here has at least 360 joints. Do I need them all? I don't know how many are in my hand, a bunch of them. Yes, I do, because if one of those wouldn't be working this morning, the whole body attention would be on that one. And I do have a lot of joint pains lately, and I know where it's at. I know where it's at when it doesn't work. And so that is how the body is put together. It's amazing study if you ever do it. You know, we had 60,000 miles of blood veins, blood vessels. There must be blood vessels within blood vessels within blood vessels. They're impossible because 60,000 miles would cross the globe two times. I looked it up again and again. Now, if Google's lying, blame that. But for us, it's all, every part of it makes it work. We have millions of blood cells, and all those are important. And so it's interesting how God plays everything together, and that's what they taught here in the Bible of how the body works. Are we close to that idea? I'm not here to condemn you this morning, encourage you to go deeper into the body life. That means I need you. You might need, you need me too, but I need you, because in a body, if it's one body that Christ has, he's coming back for that body called the church. And so I want to be part of that. I don't care how little that part is, but I want to be in that body because I need that body, because I am dependent upon Christ and he feeds me through that body. And so this morning, as we look at church life, you know, we want a healthy church that keeps growing. And many people in here probably have some form of health problem and all that. And as we get older, it shows up more and more. But as a body, the church is not getting older. It is living, and it will live till it goes to heaven. And so one brother said he has a special calling, that he's the part that nobody likes. Wrong idea, because every part has a place to be a blessing. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking and assembling ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more if we see the day approaching. So here again we say why we gather, because we need that encouragement, we need that personal interaction. We need to encourage each other, because so much the more as we see the day approaching. What day is approaching? It's the return of Christ. And as we look at what's happening out there daily, the fulfillment of Scripture, you know, we no longer have to say there's a day coming when they say what's right is wrong, what wrong is right. That already came and passed. I mean, it's still here, but that already happened. And so most of the thing we hear today is simply, you know, people on media saying that there's nothing wrong with this when the Bible says it is. And then you have Christians saying stuff like that too. You know, we're just love. We just love each other. Yes, we love each other and we must. That's not the debate. The debate is, I have denied, I have surrendered my life to this word and Christ and this word. And would I have my natural mind, would I have written it the same way? No. But that's why I needed to be saved. And now I surrender to this and study it, understand it, because I want to understand Christ. You know, sometimes we look at Scripture and we pull out one verse and that's so powerful, I'm going to dedicate my life to it. No, I'm dedicating my life to Christ, and by reading the Scripture, I know him more and more. So that's why we assemble, because we need that. Sometimes when we feel discouraged and some church problems, I would rather not go to church. Wrong. Because that's not helping anything. That's just helping this selfish man. That's why I need to die to that idea. And we come together as we see the day approaching. Don't run from it. Stay with it. Allowing ourselves to assemble in one body. You know, there's a lot of different churches. I get it. So I don't know how many would be in a 5-mile radius here. Probably more than I think. But we can't assemble all in one building. So we assemble for this, the work of sanctification is going on right now, today, if you allow it, in this presence. And that can happen at home too, and all that, in marriage. You know, some of you that aren't married yet, that's why you need to get married, because sanctification works better that way. And I encourage you, there is something going on in this world that I don't like here in Lancaster County. There's so many singles. And don't be afraid. I mean, if there's nothing wrong with being single, I get that. But I'm a little bit concerned at how much am I living as, is it because of selfishness? I don't want to get married, or is God calling me not to get married? Can I find somebody, or for a woman, nobody asking me, and all that. I don't know. So anyways, I'll let that lay, and don't get mad at me or anybody else. But those are things, if you think about it, there's much going on. Commitment, the lack of commitment, I read that actually last night, but I put it in here again. The influence in church, am I committed? Am I committed to make a difference? Can people depend on me? Am I being a blessing? And I tell you what, over the years, as being pastor for 25 years, I've been ordained, and I was in different roles, operating in different roles. But when I was pastoring, that was mostly done in Africa. And there are people I appreciate very much. I can't ever remember what they told me, but they were always there. And it was such a blessing. It was such a blessing. And so never forget that. This, you know, to be there, to be whatever the church is doing. Can we do, you know, again, back to social media quickly. In social media, we can learn. There's some good stuff on there, and that's fine. But you're committed to your local church and the vision and the dream of the local church. Submit yourself to that. And if you can learn something else, that's fine. But you cannot enforce some other idea unless it's accepted in the congregation. And so there is stuff out there that helps us, encourages us, and all that, but it's not taking away. If it takes you away from the body, even thinking you don't have to need the church anymore, then you're listening to the wrong voice. It's that simple. Naturally, I'm a person that would, I often talked about moving out west to North Dakota where nobody lives, and just out in those big plains and little hut. But that's a very selfish idea. I would maybe survive, my wife wouldn't, because she needs people. And I do too. And so what I have come to believe, you know, when we read through the scriptures in the gifts, the ministration of the gifts, all that is not needed if I would be an individual by myself. Remember that. You know, the Holy Ghost gifts are to bless each other. And so if we don't need the church, we don't need hardly anything of the Bible, except coming to Christ, that part. So keep that in mind. I'm not saying you're violating that at all, but those are just things that I have to think through sometimes. Because I look at it, we need people, we need to be around people, we want to be around people, we want to affect people for Christ. We're not here on this earth as Christians and not have a mandate, a commission to do. we can't live like this, no strings attached. I can leave, I can come as I wish, come and go as I please. I'm glad my body doesn't decide that for me. So like I said earlier, I'm glad my whole body came. You know, when I want to help somebody, maybe you need help get up, and I reach down my hand to pull you out of the ditch, but my whole body shows up to help you, not just my hand. And so there's so much of that. Well, you don't know my heart. You know my heart by my hand. Members, we're members of the body of Christ, just like these are all members of me this morning, my fingers, my eyes, and they never argue with each other. You know, I don't know, you know, if my ear would decide I need to see what the eye sees, but it does, because the eye, when I am looking at something, my ear knows what it's hearing too. And if I hear something and my eye turns, it's all identified. The whole body works together. When I hear a voice behind me, which part of my body does something about it? Everything. And that's how the church, that's, you could say, now that's perfection. We all have the same vision. Not, you know, there are different views, there are different things, but what do I lay down for now? What don't I push? What do I hold up? You know, all those things are part of it, but yet we're together in unity looking at the same thing, and number one is Christ. We look up, we're pointing people to Christ, whatever that takes. If anything diminishes that reach, then that has to be dealt with. Because if I can't reach up, if my one arm can't reach up, there's something wrong with it. We all know when sometimes we hurt too much to do things like that, all depend what happened. Every part of the body allows the other part to operate. Remember that. Since there's so many children here, but you know, I don't play with toys, but they're handy. So, these are all pieces. I got these Legos. I got this vision years ago. And I got some cheap ones here. They're not the expensive ones. I was just really impressed how cheap they were, so I ordered them and took a while to get them because they came out of another country. And so I had a drawing, a big drawing, and down how you would lay blocks, and we're all part of one another. And so this morning, I just made this small. If I would ask you how many are missing here, you would all try to guess how many are missing. But my theory is there's only one brick missing. Just this one. Why is that so? Because the others can't get in their place unless you get into your place. That's how it, so if I would put one in here, now the next ones could go into theirs. And so that is, each part allows the other part to function. But they stick together at least. That's a good one too. Are you so, you know, we're part of one another. So if you would look at this orange one here, it is two different ones underneath, side, top. You know, we're connected to each other. I need those places. Or there would be a big hole or a big gap in the wall. And I was in a prison one time, and I was telling them I had the block wall there. So I would say, if you would take these out, and this one wouldn't be in place, there would be a hole in the wall, and the devil would come in there. I was using that scenario. Wrong place to do it. Because one old gentleman came up to my wife. The only thing I could think of, if there was a hole in that wall, I would be out of here. So, but are you in your place where God has placed you? You know, I have to pick up my toys later. But where God has placed you, like it says in 12:18, but God has set the members, every one of them, in the body as it has pleased him. You know, I surrender to where he has placed me because that's where his grace is going to be to use me. You know, sometimes we think, well, I want this. I want this position. And one of the worst things I've seen over the years is when somebody claims to just, this is what God has called me, and yet they're doing nothing. They're no blessing. They're not advancing. They're not maturing. So I just rather, whatever it takes, you know, I want to be a blessing. If I'm waiting on a greater calling of the Lord, and I have to sweep, if I have to sweep this floor, that's something that would bless somebody else. You know, if I have to pick up the trash afterwards, if I have to be on the food committee, the usher, that's great. I will do it with all my heart. Me and my wife are on the food committee so often. That was the beginning of the ministries, basically, that we were involved in since that. We loved it. We still would do it. But I just see those little things. We're all part of the body, but what can I do? If I am looking at a vision that is not here, it's not touchable, it's not, I'm not saying it never could be, but in the meantime, what can I do? Because we're never called not to be a blessing. And so wherever God has placed you today, you operate in that today. Maybe that will change tomorrow, but it's up to him. And so I can relax in that, just knowing many years ago I went through a hard time and, you know, basically didn't preach for a while. And so what do? So I would set up chairs and tables and clean up afterwards. Nobody ever complained to me about it. Find a place where you can be a blessing without a disruption. Romans 14:19. Let us therefore follow after things that make for peace, things wherewith one may edify another, to build up another. So we follow things that make peace. You know, those are things sometimes, you know, I have seen all kinds of church disruptions. And sometimes it's just simply, what were you thinking? That wasn't for peace. The very first step wasn't peaceful. I'm not saying compromise. I'm saying, how can you resolve? And if you're not the guy to do it, then don't do it. Somebody else might have that gift more than you do. Romans 12:4-5. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another. So we see again here, we're members, we're parts, and it's very interesting to me. And this is why I believe so strongly and passionately about the church. And I love to read about the function of the church and seeing them work together. Because it illustrates this. I know my own body, and I don't like it when it doesn't work. But when I feel good, and I can be energized and go and do work and have no problem, but when it hinders you, and so this is why I believe we can have a healthy body in all stages, from newborns to older people, and still be functioning in perfection, like it's supposed to, and that would be the idea of perfection. Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Give preference to one another in honor. In honor, not grudgingly. You know, one of the worst things is trying to look off, see where you're at. Where did God place you? What did he gift you with? You don't have to promote your own gift. God will have a place for you. If he gave you something to do, he will allow it to come to pass as you surrender to it. We don't just honor those that are the cool people, important people, certain clique groups. That's not part of this definition at all. So, am I a blessing? I don't have to be cool. Do I have to be important? No. I am accepted in the beloved. That's all I need. Do I need just, I'm coming to church because I'm just going to, these three families here, those are my clique groups, and I'm going to stay with them and just talk to them and hardly know what the others are doing. Interact with each other. Your whole body works together. If I would right now step on a thorn on a bare feet, my whole body would be there. Not the clique group, but the whole body. You know, I would be down there. I would be looking what's wrong. My eyes would be there. Everything would be focused on that one little prick. I'm not calling you pricks. Got the body, the word church, and the body means many parts. So let's, as we, that's what our body is. If you study how the body is renewed, you know, every 3 months, you have a whole new blood. It's always changing, always renewing. But if I would take a blood test today in 3 months again, I would have nothing of the one I had 3 months ago, you know. So it keeps renewing. Your skin renews, I forget, every so often. It still looks the same old. I don't know how they mean it. But the point is, it's renewing itself, even as humans were dying daily, literally. The moment you're born, you're dying. And hopefully we can live a full life. 1 Corinthians 2:16. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. It's interesting, he said, not I. He said we. What's he talking to? The church. And so as a church, we have the mind of Christ. That shows to me that there's a greater grace as a body than individually. Because I need you. I need your encouragement. I need you to notice when I get my eyes off of Christ. I need you to be there. And all those areas of life, we need each other. Philippians 2:3. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. is this possible? When I'm good at something, can I say, anyways, yes, I need you. I can look at you. You're better. I esteem you as better than me, because together we're better. And so this is good. This take care of strife, jealousy, vain glory. In Galatians 5:26, let not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. It says, let nothing be done. And here it says, let us not be. In other words, don't entertain those opinions that are opposite of this. That's the meaning of that word, let. Don't entertain it. Don't exercise it. And when we start gossiping, a gossip doesn't have to be a lie. A gossip is something that you shouldn't be talking about somebody. Denying myself and following Jesus leads me straight towards loving others. It brings that meekness and that smallness in my life. I need to walk that way. And when I think too highly of me, there's many people below me. If I think small of me, I can easily lift you up higher than me. We are in Christ. We are accepted in the Beloved. And that is enough. And then with each other, we're there to help each other get there. James 3, verse 14 and 17. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. Wisdom descendeth not from above, but earthly, sensual, and devilish. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Not easily offended. I'm going to add that. There's a verse like that. Are you easily offended? You're offended because you think they're thinking that about you. Let's not be easily offended. To be easily entreated is far more of a blessing. This word here in James 3:15, the wisdom descendeth not from above, but this is earthly and sensual. It's interesting that it's a word sensual is in this envy and strife. What is sensual? We all know what sensuality is. I'm not going to go into that. But so when we are against somebody and we get this wisdom that is not from Christ, and it's earthly and sensual and devilish because we are bitter, are we excited about somebody else's failures, somebody else's, you know, or wishing something evil on somebody else? You know, it's central. It moves us in our whole emotional realm. And when I saw that again, it was like, well, let's not even get close to that. For accountability, we plug into the local church with each other. We live out the scripture for the world to see that Jesus is alive. You know, that's the purpose of the church. The church is mission. I didn't say the church is the mission. The church is mission. You know, it's on a mission. It's birthed by the Holy Spirit. Acts 2, it moves on into the world. The church is mission. You can't say, I'm a church, but I'm not mission-minded. The church is mission. So get over it. It's not the church is pew warmers, but the church is mission. I just mentioned something here, church shopping. I hear that phrase. Over all my life, I had changed churches a couple of times, but I never went church shopping. It's okay. I'm a little, maybe I push it a little bit too hard. I'm not trying to. But we do find a church, and we need to. But where has God placed you? That's what it says. If we seek God, where has he placed us? What do you want from us? What does your scripture say? I don't think you have to go shopping. You might have to visit one or two. And because when we go shopping, we have a list of stuff we are looking for. You go to a church, here's your list. And if it's not, if they purposely take things out, then don't stop there. Now in John, 1 John, 1 John 3, 14 through 16. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Hereby we perceive the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So this is where it comes to. Do we love each other? You know, there's a word that they always say in marriage, never use the word divorce. And it's very good advice. But in church, I use, you know, don't, I'm just going to, I don't want to go through this. I'm going to look for another church. Don't run from difficulties, but love one another. I'm not saying it's never right to leave a church at all. But I tell you what, the running, the jumping, the changing, if that's part of your life, ask God to give you grace to overcome. I'm not saying compromise either. Somebody could say, well, what about that? What about this? Well, I tell you what, sometimes I would feel like doing stuff like that. Just going to be honest. But then God doesn't say anything. I have no option but listen and wait until he shows me. You know, sometimes we think, well, God showed me this. Well, maybe it was more your interest than his, and it makes sense. You know, God showed me this. But when it's really bad, and he's not showing me any new direction, and it feels bad, I should do something else in business, whatever, in church, and he's not showing you anything different, then you can't move. But I think sometimes some of those things of the God told me is all your own imagination. I know God showed me things. But it takes a cross. It's also part of the cross. Many years ago, there was an angel that came to our house. A man. One night, we were married a couple of years. We were thinking about going into adoption or foster care. And a guy knocked on the door, and he was looking for a certain person. He was way out of the neighborhood where that guy lives. An older gentleman. And for some reason, he ended up at our kitchen table. I still don't know how we invited him in. And there we sat. We gave him a cup of water, and that's all we offered, I think. We were just sitting there. He opened up his life about adopting two children. One turned out great, one turned out bad. That went to prison. He stole from the church and all those things. He wept. We wept. He left. And we don't have to say much to each other. Just you remember. That compelled us without a doubt. We were called that night to enter into that. And it wasn't any easier than it was for him. We often wonder if that guy really was a real guy. But it took a cross. You know, it wasn't something that was easy. But we knew deep in our hearts, God had spoken to us again. Now, back to the church as I finish this up. The logo body is here to bless all. Remember that. How do you start with the body life? How do you function in the body? Here's a saying from a guy, I can't pronounce his name, but it's not my original thought. This is my thought. How do I do body life? Start with what is right rather than what's acceptable. You're not here to make yourself look good. You're here to enable your brothers and sisters to do right, to do good, to lift up Christ with you. And that is right. But if I want to do what's acceptable, sometimes people accept things they shouldn't. But right is right. As a church leader, I just want to say something like this, and hopefully I can speak for the rest here. This is something to ponder over, actually, as a leader, but as a member in the church, when there's a problem, when there's something that happens between two members, and it might be wrong, might be very wrong, I am here. And I want you to respect your leaders this way. They're here to help all people. And they're not here to take sides in a conflict. The both side needs help, and they both must overcome. So sometimes we take drastic actions. As we see much problems arising within the greater church out there, and reports and even prison times and stuff like that, you know, all that could happen. But that we are aware that we're not trying to get the ministry on our side. They're here for the whole church. I wish the politicians could know that. They're here serving the whole United States, not their cliques. Again, last night I read this, Matthew 11:29. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, that you shall find rest for your souls. So what is a yoke? It's a coupling. It yokes us together. And so a word like this, bend your necks to allow yourself to be yoked with the rest of the body. Some need more help than others. Some are more encouraging than others. But yoke yourself together with them for the purpose of helping them not follow you, but follow Christ in a greater way. Don't customize Christianity to fit your preference. You accept parts of the scripture that comforts you and ignore parts that confronts you. Don't do that. And there's much of that customizing going on in Christianity today. People's preferences, they have church splits over preferences. And they come out of some, they want nothing to do with everything. They throw everything away. And so I'm going to mention something that is very clear as I bring this to a close. I just had this on the bottom here. We know 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1 through 16 is the section there about the head covering, the head veiling. I'm just using this. I could use probably 100 other things, but some people don't believe in that, how we do. And some people never heard of it like we did. And some people say that whole, you know, just await that whole scripture. So what I'm telling you this morning, never come to a place that all of a sudden, because of reactions, because of people's misuse of the subject in the past, that you take that whole section of scripture and decide not to do anything with that. Then you are in charge and God is not. So on that subject, there is something in there. If you disagree with our way of interpretation, then how do you do it? But you can't avoid the subject, okay? You know, that's what I want to point out, because sometimes people, they just, you can't take them there. They're not going there. But yet, that's part of it. So the question could always be asked, if you run into that, how do you worship God through that? It means something. It's in there. And you could use anything else in all kinds of things. In modesty, in purity, in all those things. That's why we as a body, maybe we don't prefer some things and we agree on that, and that's fine. And maybe some other people see it a little different outside. We have, you know, we have a lot of people that we know good, and we have no problem come to our house. They dress completely different than we do. And we don't, but they're curious. They're interested in our lives. And we're not ashamed of the gospel. And whatever will happen to that, I don't know. But I look at that a little different than walking away from something you were taught from Scripture. So let's not ever let, you know, some of us come out of very religious churches, and it's a temptation just to say all that they had was wrong. Well, maybe they used it wrong, but that doesn't mean it didn't come originally from the Bible. I'm going to end with this verse, 2 Samuel 24:24. This was when King David went looking for the thrashing floor there to buy it for the temple to be built. And the guy said he'll give it to him. And David said, "Nay, but I will surely buy it from thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which did cost me nothing." Here's the body of Christ, this body of Christ. If you're born again, I'm looking, and some of you might be visitors, I don't know. But the point is, this is the body of Christ, and I worship with you this morning. Did it cost me something? Yeah, I came, put it that way. But that's how we look at the church. Is everything perfect today, or is it healthy, heading that direction? And so we embrace, it costs me something sometimes. I need to step out and help. I need to encourage you. I see that you're struggling. How do I approach you? But I will worship with you. I will do my part, because I will not go to a church that doesn't cost me nothing. Then it wouldn't be a church. I can go to a club down the road. But a church is something where we're actively involved in each other, and every part of the body flows together. The blood has life for the whole body, and the blood of Christ, that we allow that to flow in a well-balanced way throughout the congregation, that will cleanse and keep on cleansing. And if cancer comes in that blood, then it will stop that flow. And don't be that. My body has cancer in the blood, and that is where it took the life. In my worst part a year and a half ago, I couldn't have preached this long without whispering in the end, because there was not enough of life, not enough of energy. And today it's balanced, thank God. And the point is, that is what I saw so much through this experience. It hinders. Cancer is not something that blesses. It is something that takes away. And how blood cells get out of order is still a mystery. But when they do, they don't look like the real ones. When I looked at the screen, they pointed out the cancer cells, and they were very easy identified. The blood, little tadpoles, has a little tail, and the cancer cells have only a half a tail. It's like it's cut off. It doesn't come down in a point. And those take over and don't allow the red blood cells their place, and that's what gives us life and oxygen. And so in light of all that, we're fearfully and wonderfully made, the body. And you guys are fearfully too and wonderfully made. When I would all get to know you, I might be a little afraid of some of you. I don't know. But we are wonderfully made for the purpose of Christ. The body is here to represent Christ to the world. And never forget that. You have a place, even if you speak or don't speak, there's a place for you in His kingdom. And He has that place prepared for you, for you to walk in your calling, in your place. You are a witness, if you like it or not. You are one or the other. You are either a witness unto Christ or a witness unto selfishness and sin. But we have that option because Christ came and died for us. And today, as we give our life fully to Him and deny ourselves and submit to one another, because it says we love ourselves. And I tell you what, to be part of an active church, it means I have to deny my preferences sometimes, not compromise these at all, but yet my preferences. What does my life do? Is my life an encouragement? Is my Christian life an encouragement to others? Do you want to follow the same Jesus I follow? Or does my Jesus look boring? Am I always complaining? Or am I alive in Christ today? Is this life that I have, does it compel you to look up? Or am I looking at the wrong direction, and I make you look at the wrong direction? Did you ever notice that when you're in a group of people and all of a sudden somebody turns? I catch myself. Oh, what? Then I think, that's stupid. But we do that. And so make sure you're pointing to Christ, because somebody is watching. Let's all stand. This again was a message, hopefully discipleship, kind of giving you a vision what the church should be like. I'm not here to condemn. We all got a long ways to go. I got a long ways to go. But again, there's nothing better than to have a church that's functioning. I had seen a little bit of glimpses of that, and it was always a blessing. When you leave the church building and everybody's excited, what just happened? They were all blessing each other, and that's why they were excited. So it's not the message was so great, it was the people were blessing each other, and I would strongly encourage that sometimes that you take time and each one bless somebody before we eat. I'm not the pastor here, so. But those are things like that. I hopefully you do that maybe. And I did that in a church one time after I was preaching in another state, and I just pulled that in the end. I said, oh, bless, take, just bless somebody. Give them a word of encouragement. And they all stood there and looked at me. It was like, okay, never done before? No, you do that on your own, I am convinced. And so I'm going to pray here and hand it over. Lord Jesus, we just come before you this morning. We thank you that you had given us a clear, simple understanding of your scriptures that compare it with something we know well, our own body, and that's how you want your body to function. You have placed us in the right place. You didn't make a mistake. Our physical bodies, all parts are in the right place. And we thank you for that miracle. And in our church body, as we come together, you have to work with all of us, with our different opinions and ideas, and bring us together into one. And Lord, we thank you for that, and we thank you as you continue to mesh us together in unity of Christ, in the love of the brethren, in lifting up Christ for the world to see, and to be that mission that shows a bright light in this world that Jesus is still Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.